In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with us in our Perseverance Family as we persevere in our walk with the Lord on the highway to heaven. So as always, we'd like to start with inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary's the mother of the church, and Mary's the mother of each and every one of us. We also call out to Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's ask Mary to walk with us, to accompany us, to support us, to strengthen us, to inspire us by her prayers. As we pray, the prayer that she loves most, and that's the Hail Mary. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles, among which would be, he's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler in the midst of our trials and tribulations. Holy Spirit is also known as our counselor. And the Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. St. Paul says that we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us and to guide us. And to give us a lot of light in our intellect. And to give us the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we pray the traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit. So together. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. And enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Martin Deportes, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. All God's Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's holy angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation, and as always, it's great to be with all of you. And as always, I promise to pray for all of you, and pray for you in the greatest of all prayers. By far the greatest of all prayers, my friends, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to offer special prayers for all of you. My first intention will be that all of us would make a concerted effort to be open to the gifts and the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. Our sanctification depends in large part upon being open and docile to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit. And one of the prayers that we can say frequently during the course of the day would be, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would become the best of teachers. We as priests were called to preach the Word of God. We're also called to pray for the people of God. The three P's, priest, prayer, preaching, and penance. You might even add a fourth there. So, pray that we would all make an effort to keep growing in the knowledge of our faith. That's one of the purposes of our meeting, that we would keep educating ourselves in the knowledge of our faith. And my third intention, which is always of great importance, I think, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of Mary, I'd like to place on the altar all those who will be dying within the next few hours. They will be dying today. That they would have the grace to turn to God, open their hearts to God, and especially those who are dying far away from God, those who are dying possibly in mortal sin, that through our prayers that God would touch their hearts and they would open up their hearts and be saved for all eternity. Praying for the conversion of deathbed sinners. If you have the chance, someone is dying, pray the chaplet of divine mercy. Our Lord promised through St. Faustina that if that prayer is being prayed when the person dies, then the person will be saved. As Christ presents his wounds to the Eternal Father. For our salvation. So there we have it, my friends. So before entering into our topics for today, today we have St. Martin of Porres. We're continuing with the reading of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, which he says, "But whatever gain I had, I even consider as a loss because of Christ." Finally, we're moving into chapter 15 of St. Luke. Chapter 15 of St. Luke, we have what are called the Lost and Found Parables. So we've got two of the Lost and Found Parables today. The lost sheep and the sheep that's found. The lost coin and the coin that's found. Tomorrow we'll have the the Lost and Found Son, also known as the parable of the prodigal son. You might even call it the parable of the merciful father. So brief summary of what we've been going through over the past couple of days. November 1st, we enter into the month of November with the solemnity of All Saints. The Solemnity of All Saints. In which we honor our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, marked with the sign of faith, and they've arrived at their heavenly destiny. And also we mention that when we celebrate the Solemnity of All Saints, we're also remembering that the saints of heaven beckon us to follow in their footsteps. They're in heaven, but also we are called to become saints. Our eternal destiny is to make it to heaven and to become a saint, the saint that God calls us to be. The saint that God calls us to be. Because Jesus says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. So I encourage you, for your ongoing formation, to get in the habit of reading the lives of the saints. You get volumes that have, like Ann Ball has got about 4 or 5 volumes, and each volume has a short summary of the life of a saint in maybe 3 pages. Or if you read and speak Spanish, you can take the book of Father Salesman. His 4 volumes in which each saint is about 3 or 4 pages. So if we're all called to become saints, we have to get to know who the saints are. And when the Pope canonizes a saint, it's not because that saint did a lot of miracles in his life, but rather because that saint lived what is called heroic virtue, practicing faith and hope and charity and chastity and meekness and patience and obedience, all those virtues, not sporadically but constantly. So all of us are called to pursue a life of holiness. To pursue a life of holiness. As our Lord says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Then November 2nd, we celebrated All Souls. And we as priests, we're able to celebrate three Masses. So I celebrated Mass at 12, and then I celebrated two Masses in the afternoon, so that I could alleviate the suffering souls from their pains. So before getting into St. Martin and the readings for today, I'd like to summarize the memorial of All Souls by telling you a story that's always struck me. In my homily at midday, I said to the people that when we have funerals, there's a false concept of the person that dies in the sense that many people presuppose that that person went right to heaven. It may not be the case. When you hear these pious expressions, such as, well, he's no longer suffering, he's in a better place, there he is in heaven. And my response to that is, how do you know? Have you gone up to heaven? Did you meet him there? So if he's not formally canonized, we really can't say that unless it's a baby that died and the baby was baptized, we can say that that baby's in heaven. But once we've arrived at the age of reason and we know between good and bad, and we can sin, to simply say that that person is in a better place, he's no longer suffering, he's in heaven, I don't think that's wise. Because if that's the case, then we're not going to pray for the person. If he's already in heaven, why pray for him? So let's, in this month of November, make a concerted effort to pray for the dead. Even though my father died 6 years ago, and he was a very good man, everyone really loved him, I still pray for him. And I'll continue to pray for him until the Lord calls me from this life to the next. I heard a talk last night that said even if the person is heaven, praying for him will give him added glory and increased joy. That I never heard before. Added glory and increased joy by praying for someone that's already made it to heaven. Then, of course, God can apply your prayers to another person. So, here's the story I'd like to tell you, and then we can move into St. Martin. Many years ago, there was a pope. His name was Pope St. Gregory, the Great. He was a Benedictine before he became the pope. And in the monastery, he knew a monk, and he was friends with this monk, and they made a deal that whoever died first, the survivor, would pray for the person that passed away. So, the monk died before Gregory the Great. So, Gregory the Great started to pray for his friend, this monk, this Benedictine monk. So, he decided to offer the Mass. So, he offered not just one Mass or a week of Masses, but he actually offered 30 Masses. And after the 30 Masses, his his friend, the monk, appeared in glory and thanked Gregory the Great for having prayed for him. But I'd like you to underline the fact that it didn't take just one mass or two masses or a week of masses, but rather it took a full month of masses, 30 masses. It's a good story because it illustrates the fact that possibly our relatives and friends that passed away, by simply offering some prayers, a rosary, maybe even one mass, maybe that person has not arrived yet in heaven. So we can never go wrong by praying for the dead. So in this month of November, let us renew our desire, intention to pray for the faithful departed, our deceased loved ones. Even it's not a bad idea, my friends, to pray for the souls that are abandoned. Many souls in purgatory that are abandoned. So let's move then, my friends, to the saint that we celebrate today. Saint that we celebrate today, his name is Saint Martin of Porres. And I see Saint Martin of Porres very much related to the gospel today. It's a shepherd that has 100 sheep, and the one sheep wanders and is brought back to the fold. Pointing out that one sheep has infinite value. This one person, Saint Martin of Porres, has infinite value in the eyes of God, and he did so much good. This one person, one sheep, one person. And then in a certain sense, Martin would go on to do much good, to bring many sheep to the fold. Many sheep to the fold, many sheep to Christ. So he's born December 9th, 1579, and died November 3rd, today. As you pointed out, often the saint, his feast day is placed on the day that he died. Because the death of the saint is his birthday into heaven. He died 1639, so he lived to be 60 years. He's from Lima, Peru. But it took him a long time to be canonized. He was canonized only by Pope John the 23rd in 1962. 1962. He's known as the patron of social justice. Now, difficulties in life can make a person better or bitter. That's right. Difficulties in life can make us better or bitter. Someone hurts you, you can become resentful and bitter. You become a bitter person. Or someone hurts you, then you can look at the cross and you can listen to the words of Christ, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. And you can practice mercy. So even though something something difficult came into your life, you turned it into something good because you're able to practice mercy. So Martin had his share of troubles in his 60 years. But Martin never allowed these troubles to turn him into a mean and bitter person. So he was born in Lima, Peru. So two of the most well-known saints from Peru would be Saint Rose of Lima and this saint, Saint Martin of Tours. Saint Martin of Porres. Because in 8 days we'll be celebrating Saint Martin of Tours, not to confuse the two. But his life was tough. Because his parents were his father was a white Spanish nobleman. And his mother was a freed black woman from Panama. So what happened was this. His father resented the dark-skinned son of Martin. And the father basically deserted the family. When Martin and he had a little sister were very young. So Martin is going to be brought up and raised by a single mother. And I think that's very important because today in our modern world, because of the circumstances of life, there are many children that are being brought up by single parents. It's not easy. But it's possible. Everything is possible with God. Let me tell you another person that was basically brought up by a single parent. He went on to become a towering giant of the 19th century. That person was St. John Bosco. That's right. He lost his father when he was very young. And also John Paul II lost his mother when he was only 9 years of age. So those who are single parents can raise children well if they stay close to God. There's an effort now to have the parents of John Paul II beatified. And the mother of John Bosco, I'm pretty sure she's already venerable or blessed, Margarita. All is possible with God. Nothing's impossible for God. So Martin, he suffered a lot as a child, but he did not allow these sufferings to embitter him. Childhood was filled with abuse and neglect, certain amount of loneliness, and poverty. But Martin knew, that his Heavenly Father loved him. Jesus says, do not worry. Do not worry. Look at the birds of the air. Look at the flowers of the field. God watches over the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. How much more will he watch over us? How much more will he watch over us? Men and women of little faith. Jesus says, do not worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will be given you beside. So, God entered into the life of Martin in this way. So childhood was tough. But God intervened in a very special and powerful way. So Martin was about 12 years of age. His mother placed him as an apprentice to a barber surgeon. So the barber, of course, was able to cut hair, and surgeon, so he'd become, even though he had no really formal education, doctors back 500 years ago were not like the doctors today. So Martin was overjoyed. So what he did by becoming apprenticed to this barber surgeon was Martin, he learned the certain remedies, medicines and procedures to help the sick. And the people that were suffering in body and spirit. So after finishing his apprenticeship, Martin spent a long time. His days were filled in working in hospitals, in offices, and in homes. Basically, helping the sick. And the thing is, not only did he knew his art well, but he was very humble, very kind, very charitable, very friendly. He just had a beautiful disposition. Now, we're talking about a saint now. What I'm going to tell you is a common denominator for the saints. Martin was overflowing with his great love for people that suffered. But this great love for people, it flowed from a great love that he had for God. So Martin had a very deep prayer life. So during the day, during the days he would be working, but at night, he'd spend long hours in prayer at night. And one of his favorite places in his life would be he loved to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So may this be an invitation for us. So we'd be able to put into practice the double commandment of love. To love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But also to love our neighbors, ourselves. Martin serves as an example and teacher for us that if we're going to be doing good to others, we have to have a deep relationship with God, a deep prayer life. So Martin became so good at his profession, and his name began to spread throughout Lima, Peru. So he had an idea. If he was able to wear a religious habit, then the people would thank God for their cures. What humility. So Martin did not want the honor and glory to be attributed to himself, but he wanted the people, when they were curious, he wanted people to thank God. He wanted people to thank God. But because of his great humility, Martin did not feel worthy to become a priest. Or even a religious. So he decided to become, excuse me, a Dominican lay brother. Like Rosa of Lima, like Catherine of Siena. But after 9 years, the community of Dominicans just had such a love for him, respect for him, and appreciation for all the good that he had done, then Martin was admitted into the religious order of the Dominicans. And he professed his vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, the three religious vows that we take as religious. Now, once Martin becomes a full-fledged Dominican brother, under vows, Martin became busier than ever. So he becomes now the head of the infirmary of the monastery. So his work is going to be almost doubled. He becomes the head of the infirmary of the monastery, the sick, the ailing brothers and sisters, especially the brothers. He would tend to them. But Martin would still go outside the convent and help out the sick outside the monastery. Some are like St. Francis. St. Martin had a great love for animals, an attraction for animals. Said that Martin even kept a hospital for dogs and cats at his sister's house. Martin, who would be known as Martin the Charitable, was also known during his life for miraculous healings, miracles. When he would meet a sick person, he would place his hand on the sick person. The sick person would be healed. There's one case that the Archbishop of Lima was very sick, and Martin was called, even though Martin didn't feel worthy to approach the Archbishop of Lima. He prayed over the Archbishop of Lima, and the Archbishop of Lima was cured. During all these activities, Martin was very humble. He did the lowliest tasks of sweeping. You see him with a broom, Father Broom, cleaning the house and scrubbing the floor. He also loved the poor people so much that he would actually beg for the poor people in the city. He was just a dynamo of action, of charity. He would beg for the food, and he would also do this. When he was aware that The people in the city, the poor people in the city, did not have enough food and clothing. He brought them clothing too. And also he had a great love for children. He bent over backwards to bring toys for the little ones. And think about this. Martin did so much good. Girls that were called to the married life. Girls that were called to the married life. They had to have a dowry, a certain amount of money to bring into their marriage. And many of these girls were very poor. So Martin would actually raise money for these girls so that they would have the dowry. And by having this dowry, they'd be able to marry. And this would also prevent the girls so they would not enter into a life of sin or a life of prostitution. It's interesting how this one man was able to do so much good. Even though Martin did not have formal education and he didn't have a bank account, Martin actually founded an orphanage and a hospital. An orphanage for the abandoned children, a hospital for the sick. And that was not enough. Where he was, there was a slave trade. So the slaves were being transported from Africa into Colombia and Peru. So he went out of his way to help out the black slaves. And he himself was a mulatto, abandoned by his father because of his dark skin. Another great saint who worked in Colombia, his name was Saint Peter Claver. He helped out the slaves when they were disembarking. So there's a certain parallel between Martin as well as Saint Peter Claver in helping out the slaves and the abandoned. But in all this, he was known for his great humility, his kindness, and his gentleness. Let me tell you a story in the life of Martin, which is very, very impressive. You see, it's about the only time we see Martin manifesting any traces of anger. So one occasion there was a poor Indian man who had a donkey. And this donkey walked into the mud. And the donkey had a load of wood that weighed down upon his back. So the mud was kind of like quicksand. Kind of like quicksand. But the more he struggled to get free, the deeper he sank into the mud. Now this drew a lot of people. And it was kind of like a spectacle. It was an amusement for these people. So many people gathered to laugh at the Indian trying to come to coax his animal out. But no one helped the poor Indian man with his animal. They just made fun of him. So Martin shows up and angry at the people laughing, he went to help the man. The poor Indian had tears in his eyes. She's afraid he would not be able to save his donkey. And to own a beast of burden like a donkey back then, that would be their prized possession. So what does Martin do? The mud, which was like quicksand, Martin could not reach the animal. So what Martin did was this. Trusting totally in the power of God, Martin made the sign of the cross. Martin made the sign of the cross over the donkey, and he called out, and Martin said this, "Come, creature of God, in the name of God who made you. Come, creature of God, in the name of God who made you. I command you to come forth." The crowd quieted down. Slowly the donkey stepped up out of the mud and tottered toward his owner. Now when the Indian turned to thank Martin, Martin was gone. And this would lead some people to believe that Martin, known as Martin the Charitable, was possibly endowed, my friends, with the gift of bilocation. When I say bilocation, what I mean by bilocation is that the person was able to be in two places at the same time. Another saint that was known to have the gift of bilocation was a person of Padre Pio. Padre Pio. Possibly you know the story of Padre Pio, that during the Second World War they were about to bombard. The American pilot was about to bombard the place where Padre Pio was living, and before the pilot was able to press the button which would release the bombs, he saw a man flying in front of him, dressed in a religious habit, and that was Padre Pio. So Padre Pio was in the monastery, and he's flying in the air in front of the in front of the plane. Sometimes God can give this gift to saints. So the crowd, as a result of this, slipped quietly away, ashamed of themselves. So Martin was teaching these people that if we love God, we should love people in need. Yes. Because as what our Lord would say is, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. Now, with respect to his relationship to animals, you sometimes see Saint Martin holding a basket, collecting mice from church drawers. This is because there's a story that Martin found a mouse. Martin found a mouse in a trap in a church where the mice were in the church and they were nibbling away at the vestments. The priest's vestments. So Martin talked to the mouse and he told that mouse to tell his friends, the other mice, not to damage the church things anymore. And then he freed the mouse. So all the mice left the church. So if you got mice in your house, you might ask St. Martin to come and help you to get rid of the mice. Maybe even some rats, if you got some rats. So the name that was given to St. Martin was Martin the Charitable. Martin had many mystical gifts. As mentioned earlier, Martin had a great love for prayer. He had a great love for prayer. But Martin really loved to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. During these 3 years that the bishops have encouraged us to cultivate a greater love for the Mass, Holy Communion, the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, let's turn to St. Martin and ask St. Martin to give us a greater love for the Blessed Sacrament, and that all of us who are in this perseverance family, in honor of St. Martin, that we would cultivate a deeper prayer life. Among the many mystical gifts also of St. Martin, he had the gift of levitation. The gift of levitation, which means when he was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament, his body would be lifted up in the air. That's right, his body would be lifted up in the air. It's called the mystical gift of levitation, which is in anticipation of what's going to happen to our bodies one day. Our bodies are going to be lifted up on high to be with our souls in heaven. Here's a connection, you might even call it a triangle of saints. Martin de Porres was working in Peru, helping out the poor and the sick and the orphans and the slaves. Saint Peter Claver would be working in Colombia. He became a slave to the slaves. Peter Claver was known to have baptized 300,000. And Saint Vincent de Paul worked in France. And St. Vincent de Paul also worked in helping the poor and the neglected. Another thing is there's kind of like a connection between the saints. As mentioned at the beginning of our talk, the two most famous saints in Peru would be Saint Martin of Porres, but also living at the same time as Martin would be Saint Rose of Lima. And both of them were friends. Both of them were friends, and they lived. Martin, as I told you at the beginning, lived from 1579 to 1639. Let us pray, my friends, for ourselves as well as our children, that we would establish good social relationships. But also Martin, that was a mulatto, half white and half black, that we would reject any type of racism and prejudice, which is very ugly to God. Any traces of racism or prejudice or looking down upon people because they're not like us, let's reject it. Let's reject it. Because if we say, my friends, our Father who art in heaven, if we say in all honesty, our Father who art in heaven, if God is our Father, God is our Father, He's our Heavenly Father, we pray thee, our Father, then all of us are brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.